title message this morning is The Law of Neutrality. The Law of Neutrality. We talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school class. Tied right in with the message this morning. You know, I almost entitled this The Myth of Neutrality, to soften it a little bit. Then I thought, you know, I don't want to soften it, because the consequences of what I'm talking about are not soft. In fact, they're extreme. It is not the myth of neutrality. It is the lie of neutrality. It is an absolute lie. And it's everywhere. And that's why I'm preaching on this morning. I want you to listen very closely to what I say, and more importantly, to what I read from the scriptures this morning, that there is a pervasive and pernicious lie, and that lie is neutrality. It is the law of neutrality. To give you the context, we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. To give you the context, I'm going to read one verse. This is where we're going to begin this morning. One verse to begin with. I want to give you the context. Jesus has just cast down a demon. Do you believe there are demons? The Bible says there is. If you say no, then there is or there isn't. Well, there's demons to me. Well, not to me. Okay, that's not the way this works. That's not the way existence works. It's yes or no. Either they exist or they don't. The Bible says demons exist. I believe they exist. I know a lot of people who would say they don't exist. Well, somebody's wrong. There's no reconciling those two things. They exist or they don't. According to God's word, demons exist. And Jesus has just cast down a demon out of a man. And it was causing the physical affliction upon this man. Jesus has just cast down a demon. And the people ask in response to this, is this not the son of David? But the Pharisees chime in and accuse Jesus. They say, yeah, he cast out demons because he cast out demons by the power of the devil. He's casting out devils by the power of the devil. And then Jesus makes this very important statement. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, if you would please stand in honor of God's word. Stand one more time as we read this together. In response to this interaction, this is the very important statement that Jesus makes. Listen to what he says. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word. We want to come before you one more time here this morning, God, as we go into this message. God, we need to really, really stop and consider what we've just read. Help every one of us to consider this. God, there is a lie. There are many lies today. One of those lies is neutrality, and it has penetrated the church. God, it's penetrated each one of our lives, and God, we've got to recognize this, and we have to act upon it. God, I pray that you would open our eyes, that you would help us to see the truth of what is revealed in your word in contrast to the lie that is being told. Help us to see it. Help us to be transformed by it. God, we want to be children of truth. We want to walk in the truth. God, help us as we walk in your word, which is the truth, following your son, Jesus Christ, who is the truth. We want to be children of truth. Please make that clear for us this morning. God, we pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. As I think about this passage of Scripture, this verse, you see, this, I always like to think of it this way. I want you to think of it this way, too. You see, this is like the laboratory. This is the classroom. Every week, I go out into the laboratory, and I start running experiments. I've ran a lot of experiments. Talking to people, getting feedback, talking to people, asking them what they believe, why they believe it, sharing them what I believe and why I believe it, and having these conversations, they could not be more critical. It is so important that you're doing this as well. You understand, this is not the end of Christianity. This is kind of the beginning of Christianity. What you do outside the walls of this place, that is as much a part of your Christian life as you being inside the walls of this place. Do you understand that? This is the power of the church. This is how the church changes the world. Not how the pastors change the world, how the church changes the world. It's through the power of the gospel, sharing the gospel, and engaging people. Well, in all my engagements, I've got some good news. Praise God. I've been able to talk to literally thousands of people about Jesus. And if God allows me to live, I'm going to talk to thousands of more. You may say, well, Jordan, that sounds kind of exaggerated. I'm 42 years old. I've been a Christian for 30 years. Yes, I talked to thousands of people about Jesus. Many of them one-on-one. And I have some good news. Almost none of them reject Jesus. Almost none of them. In fact, I would say it's probably around 1%. 1% of the people I've talked to reject Jesus. That's good news. But you already seem a little suspicious. Nobody's amening, nobody's clapping. I'm talking out of 5,000 people, 50 people reject Jesus. Reject him. That's good news. Maybe. Are you ready for the bad news? The bad news is the vast majority of them, so they do not, they're not against him. As this passage, to use the language from this passage, he that is not against me, excuse me, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So let me use the language of this text. 1% of people I've talked to are against Jesus. About 1% would say, I am against Jesus. So the vast majority are not against him. They are not against him. In fact, I would say only 1% is against him. But the bad news is, I would say the vast majority of them are not with him. They are not with him. Now, they're not against him, but they're also not with him. I'd say about 80%. I would say 4,000 out of 5,000 are not with him. But they're not against him. 3,950 of those are, they're not against him, but they're not with him. They're neutral. They're neutral. They neither accept nor reject him. They're not against him. They're not for him. They're neutral. They are neutral. Which means they have fallen for the lie. This says, he that is not with me is neutral. He that is not with me is against me. Those 4,000 are against him. Only 50 of them realize they're against him. Jesus is the one who set the standard. He said, if you are not for me, if you are not with me, you are, by default, against me. There is no neutrality. There are the vast majority of people you know, your family, your coworkers, your classmates, your friends, the vast majority of people you know, they believe they are neutral on Jesus. They have believed a lie because there is no neutrality with Jesus. It doesn't exist. It is impossible to be neutral on Jesus. You cannot be neutral on Jesus. And Jesus makes it clear in this passage, to be neutral, i.e. not with him, is to be against him. And I want you to understand something. I gave you the context. This statement was not directed at the Pharisees, who said he cast out devils by the power of the devil. Jesus spoke over them to a different group of people, and then he comes back. You know what he's going to talk about next? The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's to the Pharisees. But what Jesus says here, he's not saying this to the Pharisees. He's saying this over the heads of the Pharisees to the ones who raised a question. He cast down a demon. He heals this man, and they say, is this not the son of David? Hey, that sounds pretty good. You know what the problem is? It ends in a question mark. It ends in a question mark. It should have ended in an exclamation point. This is the son of David. But it did not. Is this not the son of David? Jesus directs this to them to say, if you are not for me, you're against me. If I might be the son of David, you're against me. I am the son of David, which means I am the Messiah, which means I'm the son of God. What do you mean son of God? Now that's different, Messiah and son of God. Yeah, you're right. But see, the son of David is going to sit upon an eternal throne. He is the son of God. He is the son of David. He is the Messiah. That this comment is directed back to those who in verse 23 said, is this not the son of David? And it's a question. The crowds were neutral on Jesus. They weren't against him, but they also weren't for him. They weren't sure. They were agnostic. They weren't sure that without knowledge, I don't know. He might be the son of God. He might be the Messiah. Believing Jesus might be the Messiah will absolutely send you to hell. And majority of people and friends will believe Jesus just might be the Messiah. That's not salvation. And it's everywhere. I'm serious. I talk to very few atheists, but I talk to a lot of people who are not with Jesus. But with Jesus, there is no neutrality. You cannot be neutral on Jesus. And let me show you why. Matthew chapter 28, we reference this passage all the time, and we need to reference it all the time. Matthew chapter 28, and I always emphasize verse 18 is the most important part of this passage. This is after Jesus has been crucified, he's been executed, he's been tried, crucified, executed, buried, and rises again on the third day as we're getting ready to celebrate at Christmas, or at Easter coming up. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Listen to what this says. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You absolutely cannot be neutral on that statement. There you go. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Yes or no? I'm not sure you've rejected it. Because he said it's true. When you say, I'm not sure, that means you're saying it is not true. You've rejected it. Okay, it might not be true. You've rejected it. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Because all power is given me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. Who's going to win the NCAA men's tournament? You're like, okay, Jordan, what? Yeah, okay, you lost me. Who's going to win? I want to hear some guesses. Well, did anyone dare to say it? Okay, good. Let's get that off the table. Purdue? Who else? Michael, what do you think? Who's going to win it? Houston? Any other guesses? Who's going to win the women's tournament? That might be an easier one. Iowa? Not South Carolina? Okay, so, okay, now, do me a favor. Raise your hand. Now, Tiger already answered the question for me. You know what he said? Raise your hand if you could care less who wins. Man, I appreciate it. Oh, all right, this looks good. You know what? You're neutral. You don't care. And you know what? That's perfectly fine. I thought you said the law of neutrality. There's not a law of neutrality in relation to college basketball. You can be neutral. You cannot care. You know what? It doesn't matter. College basketball is one of those things that you can be neutral on. Who cares? Who's going to win the big rugby season this year in Australia? I sat there in Australia, I saw some rugby on TV, and I thought, I could not possibly care less what happens, who does what, I hope no one dies, but I mean, I'm like, I don't care about anything. I'm completely neutral on who wins the big rugby championship. But there are some people who are extremely passionate about it, okay? But here's the thing, it's okay to be neutral on rugby, college, men's college basketball, women's college basketball. It's okay to be neutral. It's one of those things about which you can be neutral. But Jesus is absolutely not one of those things. He is not. Jesus and his claims like, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You can't be neutral on that one. There is no neutrality. And let me give you one that you don't even think about. This is the audacity that Jesus had. Here's what he has commanded his followers, including you. You go to every nation and you tell them to do exactly what I command them. Whoa. That is, I command you. I control your life. You do exactly what I say, and you go tell the whole world to do what I say. You can't be neutral on that. You either have to say, yes, sir, or no, I will not. What's the in-between? I'll think about it. That's rebellion. You make some good points. There's some good material in here. You make some good points. There's some good teachings. Rebellion. You've rejected what he said. Whatsoever I have commanded you, not you need to do some of these things. Whatsoever I've commanded you, you believe it? This guy actually thinks he's God because he is God. There is no neutrality. There are things in this life about which you can be neutral. Jesus is absolutely not one of those things. There is no neutrality. You absolutely cannot be neutral on Jesus. It's not an option. The idea that you can be neutral, but to say, I will not do or teach what he commanded, that is not neutrality. That is rebellion and that is rejection. That is being against him. That is a claim of neutrality that is really a lie. I'm neutral. No, you're not. You're lying. You're not neutral. You are against him. You've rejected what he said. That is a claim to neutrality that is in fact a lie. To not be with Jesus as Lord is to be against him. Listen to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And you may say, well, Jordan, okay, you're sounding like an extremist here. You tell me that I'm misrepresenting what Jesus said in his word. I'm not the one saying this. Jesus is the one saying this. That there is a law of neutrality. There can be no neutrality. And you know what? Deep down, all those crowds that followed Jesus, there really wasn't neutrality. There was a claim to neutrality, but it wasn't true. Nicodemus comes and says, you know, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. All these flattering things have come from God, not that you are God. Okay, it's flattering, but that is a rejection. Let me tell you something. What begins with, is this Messiah? Can this be the Son of David? Turns into crucify him. There's overlaps of the same crowds because deep down, it was rebellion. Matthew chapter 10, listen to the words that Jesus says here. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Can I paraphrase that? You either confess me or you deny me. Oh, I'll plead the fifth. That's not an option. You confess him or you deny him, and to not confess him is to deny him. That's the nature of Jesus. I just won't say anything. I'll just stand here and wring my hands and say, I'm just not sure. That is to deny him. Can I paraphrase what he just said there? There is no neutrality. That's what he's saying. Verse 35. Just to make sure this is clear. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be of his own household. Verse 37. Just to make sure you're understanding him clearly. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus is saying there is no neutrality. Neutrality about Jesus is a lie. It doesn't exist. Now, there's one final scripture I want to look at. We've been looking in the book of Matthew. There's one final scripture I want to look at before we close this morning. We're going to close here in just a minute. You know, we can sit here this morning and we can say, I have accepted Christ. I am a follower of Christ. All power, I affirm 100%, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. That is a true statement. And I hope that everyone in this room would say that is a true statement. Not, it could be a true statement. Not, there's probably a lot of truth in that. Not, I don't not accept it. I've had a guy tell me that one time. Do you believe this? He said, I don't not believe it. That is not belief. That's not putting your, that is not believing what Jesus has said. But what I want to say as we close this morning is that there can be no neutrality with Jesus, but that extends beyond just a rejecting lost world who falsely claim neutrality when in fact they are rejecting what Jesus has said, rejecting Jesus' claims. But it extends beyond that. And this is where, even if everyone in this room says, I believe that all power and authority is given unto Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he is the Messiah. I believe he is the Son of David, exclamation point, not question mark. What I'm talking about this morning still applies to us. And look at Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And I want you to see Jesus' question. And it's a good one. And it's a tough one. Luke 6, 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? That means that you know, Jesus being Savior and Lord, those aren't just terms we throw around. Savior means he died on the cross to save the world, to save us from our sin. Lord means he is the master. All power and authority belongs to him. He's the boss. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That is a good question. Jesus has commanded us to do whatsoever he commanded. And he has commanded us to teach not just that he's the Savior of the world, but everything he's commanded. Would you like me to summarize that? It's right here in my hand. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus' Word. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus has commanded. And he tells us to do and teach whatsoever he has commanded. There is no neutrality on Jesus, and there is no neutrality on his commands. Let me tell you what that looks like. He is the authority. I am not the authority. If you come to me and say, Jordan, you seem like a nice guy. You seem like a smart guy, like you're pretty wise. You make good decisions. I'm watching your life. If someone of my coworkers came to me and said, Jordan, looks like you got your life together. I have some questions for you about some decisions I'm making in my life. If they came to me and asked about any one of the following subjects, Jordan, talk to me about marriage. Talk to me about parenting. Talk to me about how you use your money. Talk to me about how you use your time. Talk to me about what kind of employee you are. Talk to me about these mission trips that you go on. Talk to me about church. Talk to me about denominations. Talk to me about, you know what I'm going to say? Jordan, what are your thoughts on these things? You know what I'm going to say? It doesn't matter. Who cares? Because I'm not the authority. God's Word is the authority. God is the authority. Jesus Christ is the authority. And what I would do is I would say, let me direct you to the Scriptures. Now, we can converse about this. We can talk about this, about how this applies to your life. But what you need to ask is, what does Jesus say about marriage, about parenting, about your money, about your time, about what kind of employee you are, about church, about sickness, about health, about our life, about every aspect? What does Jesus say about it? That's the question you ask, because he is the authority. I'm not the authority. You're not the authority. He is Lord on every subject. That's where I turn here. You know, if I were lost, if I didn't know Christ, there's no way I would be married. And I'm just going to put it bluntly. So, you know, Janet probably knows this already. I would just sleep around. I would just have long-term girlfriends, maybe, or I wouldn't sleep around. Depends on how it went, you know. But I would never have gotten married. But you know why I got married? Because God said that, and it's not for everyone to get married, but it was for me to get married. And that God, I go to his Word and say, what does he say about relationships between men and women? And God has created the covenant of marriage. Put someone who says it's a piece of paper, that's a rebel against God. They are rebelling against the, it's not just a piece of paper. I don't think there was a piece of paper in the Garden of Eden when God established marriage. I would never have gotten married. But you know what? I was wrong, and God was right, and I brought my life into conformity to his word. And now I'm a husband. And now I'm a father. I would have never been a pastor. But he called me to be a pastor, and he intended for there to be pastors in his church. And there's a criteria for there's qualifications for a pastor, and I had to bring my life into conformity with his word because he's right and I'm wrong. I'm wrong about everything. He's right about everything. The same is true for you. We are to bring our life into conformity with his word. He's the one who tells us. We don't tell him. If we do, we're rejecting him. And if we say, well, that's just not the way I interpret the way I... See, we don't say I reject that passage of scripture. What we say is, that's not how I interpret it. That's more of these semantic games, like using the term neutrality for my soft rebellion, for my lack of rejection. I call that neutrality. It is rejection. I'm not with him, therefore I'm against him. And any time that I violate his command, it's an act of disobedience. There is no neutrality on Jesus, and there is no neutrality on his commands. He is the authority. He is Lord. What does he say? That is the question. As we close this morning, if you would stand, I just want to finish with this, and I appreciate it. I need to go back and listen. I've listened to the youth night. It went great. I listened to Justin's sermon. I still got to go back and finish listening to Bill's sermon, Justin's sermon, but I've already been told by others that Bill talked about simplicity the night he preached when I was in Papua New Guinea. And so I want to close with this. I want to close as simply as I can. I want to say this. You are created by God. You are created in his image. You are a being created in the image of God, but you are a creature and you have a creator. You're a part of the human race. The human race has rebelled against God, our creator. We have sinned. We have rebelled against him. We have said, you won't be God over us. We'll be our own God. That's what's happened. And because of that sin and rebellion, it's severed our relationship with God. And there's no way we can fix it. But God has made a way to restore that relationship. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to take on a human nature to represent us. He lived a perfect life. He performed miracles. He taught many things. He taught the truth. He was the truth personified in this world. He lived a perfect life. And at the end of his life, the wages of sin is separation from God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, and it will be eternal separation from God. But Jesus Christ showed up and said, I'm here to pay the debt. I'm going to pay the debt for your evil. I'm going to pay the debt for your rebellion. I'm going to take sin upon myself, and I'm going to die on the cross for your sin. He died for our sin to be the payment for our sin. That is how sin is paid for. And it's not just paying for our debt, but it's so that we can be reconciled to God, our creator. That's the point, is to get back to God. How do we get back to him? Well, sin has to be taken out of the way. The only way that can happen is for Jesus Christ to die on the cross. He died to be the payment for our sin, so that if we will believe upon him, his perfection, he never sinned one time, that's given to me, that's imputed to me. My sin is imputed to him and is paid for, taken out of the way, and my relationship is restored with God, both now and for all eternity, where I can spend eternity with God in a place called heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, not in separation, in a place called hell. Hell is separation from God. The lake of fire is separation from God. Hell exists, the lake of fire exists, heaven exists, the new heavens and the new earth exist. The only way we can spend eternity with God The only way we can spend eternity with God is through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins, and to prove he truly was and is the Son of God, and to prove that his death on the cross really paid for our sin, paid the debt, he rose again on the third day to prove he is the Son of God. That is the gospel. That is what you must believe to be saved. That's not something that you have to be interested in. It can't be something that, I don't fully disagree with it. You have to believe what I just said to be saved. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe what I just said, if you don't believe the gospel, you're not saved. And you're not ready to meet God in eternity. You will be separated from God for all eternity. Hell exists. Well, we took a vote. Even within the church, like 30% of people believe in hell. that changes nothing. You do not, contrary to even some false Christian teaching, you do not think things into existence and think things out of existence. That is a lie. Hell exists. If this whole room agrees and we take a vote to say we don't want a hell, it's irrelevant. It exists. And heaven exists. And Jesus really died on that cross, and he really rose again on the third day, and he is your absolute only hope. He's not sort of hopeful for you. He is your only hope. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you need to humble your heart and you need to believe what Jesus Christ has done. That's the gospel. As we close this morning, I'm going to step down here and give an opportunity. I like to leave time. I'm trying to keep this short this morning. I want to leave time if you need to respond to the message this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Or maybe you're here and you are a Christian. You are saved. But you know what? You're doing it your own way. You told Jesus a long time ago, okay, that I understand your view on this subject or that subject, but now I'm going to do it my way. That absolutely is going to fail. It's going to fail. If he's our Savior, he's also our Lord. You don't get to say, well, he's going to be my Savior, but he won't be my Lord. Then he's not your Savior either. He's either Savior and Lord, or he's neither. That's the deal. And he is Lord. We do things his way, not our way. If you need to pray, if there's something you need to repent of this morning as a Christian, I encourage you to come as we sing this together.